This morning, we're going to be discussing the capital project selection criteria. This particular meeting will be chaired by Senator Halpert. Senator Halpert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What we've got before us is the proposal by the administration. I think it's been circulated fairly well. You also should have a copy of a number of projects that have been reviewed by the administration. It's candidate projects, but it's something we can take a look at. So I think at this time we should just go ahead and go to the administration for essentially an explanation of the proposal that has been discussed by leadership of both House and Senate and by the administration to give us a rundown, and we'll open it for debate and questions on the criteria. So if we could be joined by Mr. Hogan and Mr. Hickey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Mark Hickey, Commissioner, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. If you'd like, I'll just walk through what is in front of you. You should all have the documents dated January 15th, 1988, DOTPF.
Has everybody got it?
It looks like that is what you have. On the first page, we've outlined our proposal of the basic criteria to be used in considering which projects best meet the general orientation of doing a jobs bill. These are not meant to be mutually exclusive or that there has to be compliance with each and every one completely. It is our sense, though, that all five criteria that are listed on the first page should be substantially met to be considered for inclusion. First item is headed meets need. The intent there was simply to reflect in our mind that the projects, to the extent possible, should be essential. They should be life safety code upgrades, water safety type projects, village safe water projects, projects of that nature, road repair, building repair, basic essential needs that we have, and that non-essential or projects that might fit into the nice to have but not an essential need would not do as well in competition. There's been some suggestion that could be more specific. We felt that in addition to having the other criteria, that if we went too much further, it might be difficult to totally suggest what would or would not fall into that category. But as a general matter, we're looking for things that are essential. Street ready.
If members have questions for clarification, go ahead and ask to be recognized, and we'll go through them. Otherwise, as far as debate, we'll hold it to the end. So go ahead and proceed.
Second item is entitled Street Ready. And that's simply a reflection in our eyes that, to the extent possible, the projects should be ready for expenditure, significant expenditure during 1988 or at least not later than 1989. So depending on the kind of project, if there's some design work involved, it's either going to have to be a fairly straightforward work effort, or that in some cases design work's already been done, so that we will actually have the project out on the street and the activity occurring and the money being spent, preferably in 88 but not later than 89. Third item refers to minimizing operating costs, and that's essentially that the project will result, if possible, in a reduction of the ongoing operating costs, particularly to state government or to state general fund demand, or is at least a neutral impact. We do note that projects for communities, municipalities, boroughs, or REAAs that increase operating costs may be included if the project satisfies the other basic criteria and there is evidence of ability and commitment to meet the ongoing costs from one of those entities. So we try to draw a distinction between minimizing or at least having a neutral impact on general fund operating costs versus other entities, communities, municipalities, boroughs, REAAs, if there is a willingness and evidence of an ability to go ahead and meet the additional operating costs that the project might generate.
Continue.
Fourth item, pretty straightforward, labor intensive, and that is to the extent practicable. The desire is to have projects that are labor intensive. That'll vary depending on the nature of the project, but clearly one that would involve equipment purchases, particularly outside type acquisitions, new elevators, that sort of thing, would not compete well given this criteria. And a final item was to ensure to the extent legally possible that these projects will result in Alaskan hires. In the case of construction contracts, we think that can be controlled in addition to what we have in statute with the new procurement bill by the size of the project. The dollar amount listed in here is $5 million or less, and in many cases that's going to be too high, frankly. You'll see our list. Almost all of them are $1 million or less, and many in the several hundred thousand dollar range. So that is a threshold to some extent was set with an eye towards $150 million package, which ultimately is still something the governor would like to see. But in looking at your first $75 million, I would submit that that's probably on the high end. And as I said, if you look at our list, we had a range of projects that were much less than that.
Okay, would you kind of amplify how the second page criteria applied to the first page criteria?
Well, in our review process, and this was used to produce the list that has been made available for discussion purposes and your information, we took the first page as the first screen of criteria, if you will. Project had to substantially comply with that criteria to be considered. Then, given that we have limited funds and more projects than funds to do those projects with, we took the second list of criteria on page 2 and used it as a second screen, if you will, for purposes of taking otherwise equal projects and trying to determine which, if there was a choice to be made, which ought to get the nod. The list of 5, starting with the first, if the project has a reasonable potential for immediate job creation, permanent job creation, versus one that does not, we think that is a favorable point in favor of the project that accomplishes that criteria. Second deals with the titled employees, the unemployed, and this was an attempt on our part to consider the trend in unemployment and other considerations that would be available to show which areas of the state have had a more difficult time since 1986. And again, if you were looking at otherwise equal projects and some of these other criteria were not available for you, the overall trend in the census areas and in the communities with respect to unemployment could be used, in our opinion, to again make a judgment between one project versus another.
Point of clarification, Senator Jarrell.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you just clarify the process that you use in determining unemployment?
Well, the majority of the material we used was provided by the Department of Labor and their unemployment statistics, and we are aware of the concern that many have about the overall validity of that. And frankly, I think if you look at the list that we ultimately produced, we paid some attention to that, but frankly didn't use that criteria to any great extent in trying to judge between projects.
Is it, just with regard to the secondary criteria, is it a reasonable assumption that if the bill that reaches the governor's desk does not exceed $75 million and there is no necessity for veto because of amount, essentially the second page criteria for relative ranking within those projects, as long as they meet the first page criteria, probably won't come into play?
Mr. Chairman, I think that's entirely correct. You've sat down and dealt with some attempts to allocate funds. I know the governor's aware of that. I think if the projects proposed meet the first page of criteria and the overall project or bill amount does not exceed the dollar amount people are talking about in addition to the projects the governor's submitted, I would think you're correct. The second page will not be relevant.
Thank you. Would you continue through?
I would just add that I guess for us, we've used, and the second page has been relevant to at least put projects in front of you, and maybe that's the end of the application of that. Another item that we think is worth considering, if a project is going to leverage other monies, federal funds, federal matching funds in education, or municipal funds in a municipal grant to sewage or water treatment project, again, that would give the nod to that project if it were being judged against one of a similar nature that did not have that consideration. The thinking is that you're going to put out that much more money by matching those other funds. The fourth additional criteria that we've listed is an attempt to reflect, we titled it Balances Work. to try and use some consideration to balance work between crafts and trades. We had in our database a fair amount of information about the crafts that would basically get majority of the work in an individual project, and to the extent that we've gone too heavy in mechanical or electrical, the notion would be that you would look to some of the other projects that compete equally well in the other criteria involving other crafts and trades. Finally, prioritization by others. Many of the lists that we were looking at have been prioritized through processes that are already available. The Board of Education reviews all capital projects for, as I understand it, REAA, school districts, as well as the department. And we had that information available to us. DEC does the same with the municipal grant and village safe water projects. DOT does the same with the transportation general fund projects. And to the extent that the projects first met the basic criteria and you were otherwise looking at equal projects, we at least looked at what prioritization had been done where that was available and tried to use that as our guide in putting together a list of candidate projects.
Okay, I have a number of questions, and unless there are other questions, I'll go ahead and ask them, because I think there are probably some that other people would ask unless there's any immediate questions. Representative Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you have backup available for the specific projects for the governor's other part of the $10.2 million, for example, the Parks and Trails rehabilitation? Have specific projects been selected for those? I noticed there's backup here for some of your items, but not all.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, when the bill is presented next week, we will provide backup for all of the governor's projects.
Would it be possible for us to see what those are so that we can...
Mr. Chairman, we're in the process of assembling that over the course of this week, so I really doubt that we could have it done by until the introduction.
Well, I assume there's concern about duplicating the same project, so
yes.
I think in some way there should be some way that...
That particular one, unfortunately, is one of the last ones coming in.
Okay, somewhere in parks, there I hope could be some communication there so the duplication can be avoided. Representative Brown, continue.
Thank you. this attached work draft with a large number of projects on it, have all of these projects been subjected to your criteria, and would every project on this list meet the governor's criteria?
The work product that you have was done by the department, and it was done starting with an overall list that last count I had was about $1.15 billion. We have called it down to approximately $200 million using the criteria, using both pages in the manner that I just described. It is the department's work product. I can't tell you that the governor has yet looked at the entire list and that he is prepared to say that they meet the criteria, all of them meet the criteria, that they all equally meet the criteria. It's our view that of the list we had, these are the best $200 million for your review, and the governor was comfortable enough in the work effort that we put into that to make it available to the members so that you at least had that as information. My own sense is that in all likelihood it would be a fair assumption that if something came off this list that the administration is going to view it as meeting the criteria, but I can't say that because it's not the governor's work product.
Thank you.
Representative Larson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is in relation to the procedure. Would it be like the capital budget where it's a grant to a municipality and then the municipality could pass it through to a nonprofit or carry out the project itself? Or what is the procedure or requirements?
Well, our sense of that would be it would vary with the project in that we would use the current practice that's been used. If it is a project for a community, and normally that would have gone through as a grant directly to the municipality, our sense is that's what would be done. If it's a village safe water or municipal grant project, my understanding is in the past that's been appropriated through DEC and then passed on. So my sense would be that's what would be done in those cases. There are some that have in the past gone directly to Department of Transportation or to Department of Transportation for pass-through. And in those cases, if it was that type of project where a little more design assistance perhaps was needed, we would recommend that approach. The list that we provided, the WHO column on the far left, was an attempt on our part to, with those projects at least, give some sense of whether it would be a community grant or an agency appropriation, I would not suggest that it's 100% correct. The timing was such that we wanted to get this out, and there may be some that we recommended as agency appropriations that would do fine as municipal grants. But we tried to give you some sense of that in the list that we provided.
Yeah. My question, Mr. Chairman, is simply, are we using kind of the same criteria for the procedure for the jobs bill as we do for the capital? And that is, if it's to a municipality, they have certain responsibilities for a certain period of time to see that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Larson, that's our sense, that the fact, if anything, there should be greater administrative efforts than in the past to ensure responsible handling and that the funds are used for the purposes which they were appropriated. We would see these projects being subject to those same set of requirements. We aren't proposing any new structure or new mechanism.
Okay, that's one of the concerns I have. If we're going to concentrate on jobs to get people to work, sometimes meeting that same strict criteria over a long period of time is going to handicap our potential to put people to work immediately.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I was taking your question, Representative Larson, in terms of fiscal accounting. I do think there may be some need to look at some other aspects of current law, for example, procurement code, to ascertain whether, and depends on the project, that those laws are going to create constraints for meeting the objectives. I think there is a potential for that to happen, depending on the project.
Do you have a recommendation with regard to the procurement code?
We have been looking at that, and I don't have a recommendation as of yet.
Okay, I've got Senator Duncan, Representative Wallace, and Representative Gold. Senator Duncan?
Excuse me. Mr. Chairman, I'll withhold my questions until after Mr. Hogan's presentation. Today.
Senator Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I assume from what you're saying, Mr. Hickey, that the list that's before us is not all-inclusive. Is that correct?
No,
there are,
not
there
at
are
all.
Other projects which can be identified to be funded which are not on this list.
Very much so, Senator Duncan. This was simply an attempt to, we had been going through the process, we had put together this work product, and the governor's sense was to make it available for members for their information and consideration. It is not at all meant to be all-inclusive, and there may well be other projects that are much better than this. One of the things, and we noted in the cover memo, one of the things that we suffered from is we did not have equal input from all municipalities. So we may well, there may be other projects once we knew about them that we would substitute ourselves.
What was this memo doesn't have a date on it, nor does the computer run. When was this put together?
The list has been put together. We've been working on it the last 3 weeks or so. It was released last week, and it was available about that same time. I think it was released to members on Friday.
The reason I'm asking the question, and I'm just trying to get this clear in my mind, this list totals $203 million. There was also, and maybe this is not all necessary quite public, but there was also another list done with ranking by priorities that totaled $200 million, and the projects don't match. So have you identified really $300 or $400 million worth of projects which might meet the criteria? Why the difference between the two lists?
There should not be any significant difference. There was an earlier list that we prepared as an internal work product, roughly at $200 million. I think that totaled actually about $6 or $7 million less than this list. That did rank on a priority basis the first $100 million, the next $50, and the next $50. We circulated that for review with the agencies. On the basis of that comment, some adjustments were made. By and large, that list is the list in front of you. The only significant difference, other than some individual projects going in or coming out, only significant difference is that for the purposes of presenting this as an information document, I determined that it was no longer relevant to give you the prioritization of 1, 2, and 3. That was really more meant from the point of view of the governor was to put in his own bill. We felt it more reasonable just to present the projects to you that were in that culled-down list and let you look at what you would think would be the highest priority.
I guess I need to explore it further, and I'll do that later, because there are some major differences, and I'm not sure they're all agency differences. And I'm wondering, I guess my question was, talk to some of the agencies, and some of the projects that have been either added or deleted from the list weren't necessary agency priorities. I was wondering if that was OMB, or if that was you, or if it was somebody else that did that.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Duncan, if you have some specifics, I'd be happy to answer. I don't think that you will find significant adjustments with the other list. I'm happy to work that through with you. In terms of agencies, we had concerns raised about certain projects, and in some cases those projects were not included because it was our determination that they did not meet the basic criteria. But I do not think there's more than $20 million worth of difference between the list that you're referring to and this one.
I found the 20.
Thank you, Representative
Dahl. Talk about it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of quick things. Just technically, first, some of these projects are listed in capital letters, some of them in lowercase. Does that have any significance, or is it just a clerical?
It's the way the database was put together. We had submissions presented to us from 16, 17 different agencies in a number of different communities. It has no significance.
Thank you. And the second question was, you mentioned that some of the names under this WHO category might be changed. With regard to DOT projects, or projects where the first column says DOT, where there are very small projects that municipalities could easily undertake, will the department have any objection to making those municipal grants where it's, you know, local repairs of docks and things like that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Gall, probably not generally. If you're going to ask my opinion on it, I'd probably want to react on a case-by-case basis, but those types of projects, I don't see any reason that that couldn't be done that way.
I'm looking at the $3,000 and $5,000 repair projects and that.
Senator Bacon?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, now, did I understand that the $10 million or the $10.2 million that the governor proposed in this budget, is that pretty well fixed, those projects pretty well fixed, or are those subject to change?
My understanding is that they're fixed. It may be necessary, though, to ask the governor's office. I've not talked to him about that with that question in mind, so I'd probably like to do that for you before giving you a final answer, but I believe that represents the governor's $10.2 million of specific projects for funding in the if there is a $75 million jobs bill.
And those, of course, fit into his basic criteria that he's laid out here?
They do.
I've got a question. Of course, there aren't, in this list that the governor's proposed, the $10.2 million, there's not one project, not one penny in my district, so it's difficult for me to relate to most of these projects or to all of these projects if they actually fit in this basic criteria. But one that did come to note here as I was reading through it was for one in Juneau that I've had occasion to drive by and observe being here in the capital city. And it's one for the local aware shelter, and I see that they want to pave the garage. Now, I've driven by the shelter down there, and although I haven't stopped in or inquired, for the life of me, I can't find a garage there. Can you explain to me where that garage is, and also how that really fits in with the criteria A that you laid out here, meets need? Generally, this does not include non-essential or marginally necessary proposals.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Binkley, in terms of the list, there are funds, for example, in the LSR&T that would be in your district. In terms of your specific question, I don't have an answer for you. I'd have to go back and talk with public safety. There are a number of things that are done with, there's a $91,000 project for the aware shelter, fire upgrading, installation of sprinkler system, and paving garage. Certainly the upgrading on the fire and sprinkler system would meet the life safety code example of meeting a need. Paving garage, I'd have to look at that for you. You may have a good point.
Well, that concerns me. I know in my district, of course, as I mentioned, where there are no projects, there are tremendous needs. I mean, there are needs for safe drinking water in many communities, safe sewage systems and disposal systems. And it kind of galls me, to be perfectly honest with you, that we're talking about basic needs here in areas that have tremendously low unemployment, very little job opportunities, and we're talking about paving a garage here in Juneau.
I think something that we should do, all we have before us is a governor's initial run for proposal in a bill. We're essentially talking about the criteria, and as the criteria apply to those things, I think it's essentially fair to look at them, but I don't think we should be isolating out the governor's proposals at this time, because essentially that's in the proposal stage. So we're going to have the bill before us when it has a combination of legislative proposals, executive proposals, and it'll all, of course, be subject to review.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would certainly hope that the governor follows his own criteria in looking at these jobs that he's proposed, the projects that he's proposed, and his $10.2 million.
Mr. Hogan?
Mr. Chairman, I am listening carefully.
Well, there is a garage there. It's underneath the building.
Senator Hensley?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just reiterate a similar theme as the senator from Bethel. I look through your list and I can't see anything in local service rails and trails at this point, but there's nothing in my district for fish habitat restoration or parks and trails rehabilitation or the DNR UA land surveying. I don't think that's taking place anywhere up north or west. The watercraft fuel tax projects are all in southeast Alaska or maybe in Michigan. There's a domestic violence shelter improvement for $100,000, I think, in that performance. Nothing for barrier-free access projects or a pioneer zone, so this is very much a statewide proposition from the third borough.
Mr. Chairman, if I might. Senator Hensley, the statewide appropriations like LSR&T, and I don't know yet in the case of the Pioneer's Home or the barrier-free, but at least in LSR&T, and given it's only a $2 million level, will not provide sizable funds, but it does provide money on a statewide basis. The Pioneer Home projects, as I understand it, are for a number of the facilities throughout the state, minor repairs, rehabilitation. The barrier-free, we're just finishing trying to call out the best $500,000 list of projects to focus on facilities where there's the greatest public access need. So we're not necessarily doing state office buildings only, but health clinics and facilities where the public has the greatest need to have those projects occur. I can provide for you a better breakdown of what it will actually be available if you'd like in terms of district. I just add that it was not intended in presenting this $10.2 million to cover, from a statewide point of view, all of the possible needs out there. The notion was that the members would fill that in with the additional $60 to $65 million. And I think if you look in our list of candidate projects, you will see a good broad cross-section. You will see $40 million of Village Safe Water and municipal grants for sewage and water treatment. You will see in front of you projects that I would submit meet the criteria very well.
With regard to some general questions, I'd just like to ask, was there any consideration of having a shortened lapse date on this particular appropriation? I know one of the criteria says be constructed in 1988 or no later than 1989. One way to make that self-enforcing would be, instead of having the normal extended lapse and then reappropriation process, to have projects lapse in something like 2 years. Then you'd have a self-enforcing jobs bill, and if in fact it was in the bureaucracy and not moving, it would go back into the general fund.
Mr. Chairman, I've heard that suggestion, and frankly, I think it's one to consider. Mr. Hogan may want to follow up. My only reaction would be make it 3 years rather than two, just in terms of the processing that can occur and the problems you might run into with the lapse date. I'd suggest considering a three-year effective date or three-year lapse date, but it would not trouble me, and I think there's some wisdom to do that.
With regard to operating costs, there is a House bill in the Senate on identification of operating costs, and I wonder if the administration is going to be looking for some kind of identification of future operating costs in at least the large projects in this bill as we deal with the executive branch in showing that we've met the criteria.
Mr. Chairman, for a number of years we have asked for operating information on capital projects. It hasn't been an extensive part of the review, but it has become increasingly more paid attention to. I certainly think we would want to look at the proposed operating costs of certainly major structures that the state is going to be held accountable to operate. I would point out that some of the operating cost tends to be oriented only toward the maintenance, upkeep, and operation of the facility. I would submit that that's really not all of the story, the so-called life cycle cost. It's equally important what program goes on in the facility, and that is frequently the more important and more expensive portion of it. So, yes, I think we would be taking a look at that, and we would encourage the legislature to do the same, since it will simply impact an operating budget 1 or 2 years from now.
We are on a fast track to try to produce probably a more cooperative bill than we have been able to in the past.
And one of the things that may be important in that is that we know and have a phone number for the person in DOT that essentially did the information work on DOT's list, as well as a number for the person in CNRA and the person in DEC and education, so that we can, I think, as we work with our individual delegations, call somebody and find something out off of one of your lists. So I would hope that today we can get just a list distributed to every member of the House and of the Senate with that information on it, so we have a fast-track way to check on a project. I think that's important to us. Representative Rieger, did you have a question?
Yeah, just one. Just to, I guess on operating, again, a little bit different question, but the heading says the governor's criteria for capital project selection. Is it, just to be clear, this is, in this bill, the governor's criteria are for capital projects, not for items that would ordinarily go in, say, the operating budget. Is that a comparison?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Rieger, this is focused towards the capital, yeah.
Just to be sure. Thank you.
Senator Hensley and then Senator Jarrett.
Yes, I'm thinking about this job bill last night. I was wondering whether or not any thought has been given to utilizing a portion of the funds a community might get for youth employment. I was thinking that I know the small community, you know, $100,000 or $150,000 project could be a little boost to the economy if there's nothing else going on. And if you had 10 or 15,000 of that going into the basically minimum wage type project for youth. I know that's probably something DOT doesn't think a lot about, but it's something that would give some benefit to the community.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hensley, I think it would be. And it did get some discussion internally. The DNR work, if I understand it, would to a large extent meet that criteria in those areas where that work will be done in terms of youth employment. That's the way that program used to work, if I understand it, generally, for trail rehabilitation. The Department of Community and Regional Affairs have two or three programs that they've been focused on that you'll see reflected in our list under the statewide section that may also be possible to be oriented that way. I don't know that that was intended. I think that's a good suggestion and a reasonable thing to look at.
Senator Jarrah, and then Representative Wallace, Representative Gall, and Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got two parts here. First of all, looking at your Alaskan hire, there's a sentence in there that says an amount of $5 million or less for individual projects. Has been the approximate cutoff date. And I assume that if you're looking at a project there of $5 million or less would ensure an Alaskan contractor and ensure Alaskan hire to the greatest extent. How do you come up with $5 million?
Picked it out of the air. The intent was to do exactly as you said, and as I mentioned in my opening comments, the project is going to control that to some extent, and the location is going to control it. If Southeast is the location for the project, $5 million or $4 or even $2 may result in an out-of-state contractor being able to bid successfully. If it's up on a chain or up in northwest Alaska, probably much, much less so. Our sense is that it would probably be best to look even at a lower number. We use that as a sort of absolute threshold on the top end.
Look, Mr. Chairman, looking at a total jobs bill of $75 million, you subtract the governor's 10.2, and then you take the remainder divided by 20, you bet you come up with about 3.2 for each area. So there's no problem staying within their $5 million guide range.
Well, again, Mr. Chairman, Senator Zeroff, the list is the criteria in the list was originally directed and predicated on a program of $150 million, so that would have created a little bit of difference on those numbers.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, then my final comment here and concern I guess I have then is that when you take the program that I had before, you get down to 3.2, and then you have two house districts split up, you got 1.6 million. You know, that's all fine and good there. When you've got a single community in that area, you can focus on it. When you take House District 26, for example, and you divide that by 40 communities, well, you come up with $40,000 per each community, and they're trying to spread it out through the whole thing. And looking at your list as submitted from the governor's office, and you try to select something that's close to $40 million that you would think would have a fair chance of meeting this criteria, the closest one I could find is $70.2 million to construct a trail and outhouse.
What? 70.2?
Well, that's what it says.
That's thousand.
70.2 thousand, right. And what, point two to construct a trail and an outhouse.
How much is a trail?
I have no idea. It must be. I don't know if it's a one holder or two there.
I'll have to go back and check on that.
I think we could spend a lot of time going through the individual proposals rather than the criteria, which is what we're focusing on.
I guess the point that I was trying to make is that if we want to use this as a guideline where you're looking at where you've got multiple communities within a large district where we've got 40 communities, you know, this list doesn't really provide us with any guidelines that we could try to work with to get those projects in there so that we could eliminate the amount of work and the time and energy that we're going to have to put into this. So that list that you suggested that we acquire from the various agencies is going to be very important so that we have contact people to find out, geez, is this going to be this $40,000 project for a small village up there in central or southwest Alaska, is that going to meet the criteria? And we need to know that before the final days. And there's nothing on this list that's come down from the department or from the administration that gives us any guidelines. I haven't looked at any other districts, but just looking at what jumps out at me from District 26.
This was just a simple. Okay, Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This might be a question for the Honorable Jay Hogan, but maybe Mr. Hippie can help out here too. Senator Binkley and I had, you know, looked across, and we became concerned because we were wondering if the administration, the governor, the department list, and we were wondering if it was fairly and equitably distributed across the state. When you look at the governor's priorities, there's nothing in there for District 24 of 42 communities, and is this an indication that that the administration is saying that we don't need jobs out there in District 24, that there aren't any projects that benefit the state?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wallace, no, I wouldn't suggest that's the interpretation at all. I think the hole in the list for that area stems largely from the lack of information that the department had when it was preparing that data. We had some technical difficulties getting this whole project underway, and one of them, frankly, was unequal, if you will, access to information from all communities. So I think that's really what is reflected there, more than a decision not to include projects from a certain area.
Mr. Chairman, may I continue? Thank you, Mr. Hogan, because that is a problem that we are having too. Yesterday I tried to contact three communities and couldn't get through by telephone. And again, we're still sometimes operating here in Juneau with high technology all around us. We forget that there are communities out there with limited access. And we have most of my communities are now having one-day plane service and limited phone, you know, phones being available. The other thing that I'd like to bring up is what Senator Hensley addressed, the social concerns. I was wondering, you know, what social concerns play a part in this in the priorities here, you know, in regard to the development of your CIP list from the governor. In previous years, we've been able to put, if an agency didn't think that a priority that we brought forth or a concern that we brought forth, and we asked the agency to fund it, but the agency didn't, we could always appropriate our CIP money to a social program. Now, for an example, we have in a community that has great concern about their children and about suicide and about their being ignored, no jobs available for you know, self-esteem and confidence and dignity, and that they aren't participating in the world. And they have been a request to Senator Binkley and I for $5,000 for the kids to construct their own place, their own camp. They have, you know, no social, no hall there or anything, and they would like the kids to do something. And, you know, maybe that is a viable project. And if I turn this in and you say, hey, it's not creating, you know, doesn't meet our high CIP list, 5,000, what's 5,000 to 5 million? And, you know, I'm wondering if you're going to take a look at the social side of our request.
Mr. Chairman, it's my sense that the governor is really going to be very, very open to persuasion based, I would say, more on the merits of the project than anything else. So I don't sense that we're overly hung up on a particular technical situation. I think we would be extremely open to persuasion on the merits of the project.
Representative Gall and then Representative Brown, and we're going to try and keep moving. We'd like to at least have a short period of time if we have any members of the public that want to have a statement on the criteria. And then I don't know that we have a format to take any joint action, but I would hope that we can at least have a general consensus as to where we feel like we should be going. So go ahead, Representative Gall. Okay, and Representative Brown, did you have something?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to explore a little bit your view of the needs criteria, and specifically with respect to the water and sewer money that is conspicuously absent from either the base capital budget or the governor's $10.2 million. There is a minor amount of money, but certainly not at the level we've had in past years for the village safe water projects and for the matching municipal grants. It seems to me that under any logical set of criteria, life, health, safety would come to the top of the list. And I was just wondering, does the administration feel that this is not an important area to be funding? And if so, how would you suggest that we fund this important project?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, no, it does not indicate a lack of interest in that area. We have had extreme difficulty putting together the capital budget due to the way basically we chose to go about it. We chose to go about it not from the standpoint of a unilateral executive presentation. In the budget bill introduced by the governor, there is a one-line capital appropriation of $150 million that he requested for jobs-oriented items.
We're going to try and get done by then.
In discussions with the legislative leadership, it became apparent that for early passage, like the one that you mentioned, and if I could, Mr. Chairman, I would like to just make one comment. To me, the most critical part of the criteria is meets a real need. One of the problems we have right now, and we will continue to have, is that the allocation system was designed in days when we had more money to spread around. Senator Zoff has put his finger on a real problem. When you have a large number of communities, it is difficult to spread an allocation within a large district. Whether we like it or not, we're going to have to go back to the system that earlier Alaskans faced, and that is there is going to be less money to spread around in capital projects. We're going to have to eventually face the reality that we must look at regional needs of an area and begin to back away from the system that has attempted to spread perhaps too broadly. I realize that is not a pleasant subject to envision, but I think you're going to be faced with just as difficult a decision as we were faced in dealing with a portion of the capital budget when you sit down to pass the final version. To me, the number one criteria, and the rest fall by the wayside compared to this, is it a worthy public purpose? Is it really something that's going to add some value to the region?
I have one other question, if I can.
Okay, go ahead.
With respect to Mr. Higby's remark about youth employment and the Youth Conservation Corps and DNR, that's generally been an operating program, although it is not currently funded. Is it the administration's intention to put some of the $1.2 million toward the Youth Conservation Corps program?
I wasn't, Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, referring to that as much as I was the request is trail rehabilitation in that regard. I understood it correctly, and I may be mistaken. That has also resulted often in youth employment. But that was the proposal in the 10.2 you will see other proposals that DNR has put forward for refunding that program here or somewhere for the reason that we've discussed.
Okay, we have people that are going to have to leave, but Representative Gall, I think you had one thing you might want to go back to, and Senator Hensley had one quick question, then we'll go to you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to ask a little bit about the other extreme. You indicated that where there was a clear social purpose and a need, that the administration would not automatically disqualify requests that have to do with programs in the community. Is that a correct understanding? You responded to Representative Wallace, who indicated that the administration, I guess you said, was open to arguments regarding programs that were less on the capital side and there was a strong social need or job creation. Was that correct understanding?
Mr. Chairman, I guess I don't recall that specific answer. My view would be that if there are those sorts of programs that can also meet the intent of job creation and meeting need, as Mr. Hogan has pointed out, I have to think the administration is very open to looking at those proposals, how that affects an overall program in terms of how much money is available and what else doesn't get funded is one of the things that have to be looked at. But my sense of that would be, yes, if there are those kinds of proposals, they ought to be brought forward and they would get
and
a fair review.
Discussed in advance with whom?
Well, I think in terms of the question that you're asking of a program that's something different than a capital item and different than the criteria, in a sense, that Mr. Hogan and Representative of the Governor's Office would be the appropriate people to ask, Mr. Evans.
Do you feel the same way about purchases? We've got just one issue that I can fit in here and had to do with the desire of one of our school districts to purchase the equipment needed to develop electronic programs or, interface with university teaching programs so that with the shortfall of money for the schools, they would have an opportunity to broaden their curriculum, and that doesn't fit at all under the criteria yet. I don't know if there should be another opportunity, and it is a real need. Does the administration have a policy on it?
Mr. Chairman, I think, Mr. Hogan, if I might, Representative Gall, one thing we would encourage in the reviews of the budgets, that things that are operating oriented, like the YCC type program, that they be augmented in the appropriate operating budget to the extent the legislature feels is appropriate. And if there is a small grant that could appropriately lodge in the operating budget, I think that's a better location for it. We also stand ready to move projects back and forth between the so-called regular capital budget and the jobs bill if it feels, if it seems apparent to the legislature that a switch ought to be envisioned, and in fact we have envisioned two such switches in the list that we've set forward. So I think there's a willingness to work with the legislature on trying to put items in the right place, in the place where they logically make sense.
Okay, one final question from Senator Hensley, and then we're going to have to move on or we'll not be able to get done in any kind of time allocation. Senator Hensley?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's going to be some very small projects in some very small villages, and there's going to be rather sizable projects, umpteen millions, like in Senator Duncan's district.
There is.
My question is this.
Thank you.
What's going to be the state's policy with respect to the application of the Litigation Vacant Act?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hensley, there's been some discussion of that. I don't have specific answer. I guess the best answer I can give you today is that the statute in effect will govern these projects in the manner that it would in terms of size and using current law.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hickey.
In order to go forward, I think we should go ahead and see if we have any brief comments from members of the public on the criteria.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We don't have anyone signed up. I don't have a sign-up sheet here, but is there anyone as a member of the public that wanted to comment on the criteria? We apparently don't have any members of the public that want to comment on the criteria. We don't have a format for joint action between the House and the Senate Finance Committees. I would hope that we can at least express a general consensus that we're going to try to work within the criteria proposed by the executive branch. I think we are dealing with a new process, but I think it's at least a step in the right direction. Representative Davis?
Yeah, I certainly would agree to that, Mr. Chairman. One question I was going to ask Mr. Hogan, and I believe the answer will be that every one of these projects that they have submitted have in them a projected O&M cost. And I would like to see, and maybe some discussion on this sheet that was handed out, that perhaps we could include in this a projected O&M cost so that at least all the projects from the administration will have that, they'll have that information, and perhaps when we are doing our final work meet with the various municipalities, we can ask and get those projected O&M costs to be included on the sheet. That's, I think that would be a good practice for us to implement, and most of the information will actually be available to the from the administration.
Okay, the sheet that went out was a sheet that just went to the Senate side. It was only for information. It's not designed to say that the senators have approval over the House or anything else. And I think your points are well taken, but in the area where it says how the project meets the jobs bill criteria, I think that could be amplified to say A, B, C, D, and E, and you pick up at least the operating cost consideration there. But I think at this time, what I'll do is I'll turn the chair back over to Representative Adams, and he'll go through the schedule. And if the House wants to use a form similar to that, I think it would be advantageous if we came up with a joint form. I just proposed that one to the Senate, and that's really all it is at this point.
Thank you, Senator Halper. As far as the schedule, both the Senate and the House members will be turning in their particular project. See you later, Senator Zaroff. To each chairman by this particular Friday. Senator Halford and I will consolidate that and hand it to the governor on Saturday. Over the weekend, the governor then would incorporate his $10.2 million into the jobs bill. That particular jobs bill will be introduced in both bodies on Monday. Then on the following Tuesday, on the 16th, we'll meet back here to go over that particular jobs bill, where we'll go over these particular projects and have members of both particular bodies, if they would like, to discuss their projects here. After that, we will formally adopt the jobs bill, make a coin toss to see who will present that in either body, either go first in the Senate or the House, pass it out, and hopefully that particular bill will be signed by the governor by the 22nd of February. But as far as the format, that which has done a good job by Senator Halford regarding the project request, the House will be adopting that same format. But as far as your concerns regarding future capital projects, then we can add that particular criterion regarding operational maintenance. We will be meeting here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. again for the ANWR presentation. With that, this joint meeting is adjourned.